How strong is your work team? In order to enhance teamwork, you need good leadership, individual member intuition, and a mutual desire for growth. Welcome to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability, with your host, Glenn Harris. We'll explore the five key behaviors of a cohesive team and learn how to apply them to your own work group to create a powerful business. Now, here is Glenn Harris.
Good day, everyone. This is Glenn Harris, your host of Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence and Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. Our topic today is strategy execution and alignment. My guest today is a dynamic individual and new business colleague, Joe Clark. He is the CEO of Prana Business outside of Denver, Colorado. Joe has over 18 years of strategic planning, operation management, entrepreneurial experience. As a strategy execution consultant, Joe is a highly sought after individual by board directors, executives, and managers from mid-cap businesses to the global 500 enterprises. Joe has co-created a unique product called the Line of Sight Strategy Suite that has helped thousands of managers across hundreds of organizations execute strategy and create competitive advantage. He's considered a category expert in the area of strategy execution and has been a guest speaker on top-rated podcasts such as Drive Through HR, and he's been featured in the Wall Street Journal. In addition to Joe's strategy work, he has also founded, served on the board, and or participated as an early investor in a number of successful startups and early developmental stage firms such as the California Fitness Holdings LLC, Tourmalet Properties LLC, MegaNet, which recently filed with the SEC, by the way, for an initial public offering. Workshop facilitation, coaching, and consulting are all a passion for him. He's facilitated leadership and executive education programs for thousands of managers across dozens of well-branded firms such as Bertelsmann, AG, Anadarko, Penguin, Random House, Pfizer, and Baxter International, just to name a few. With that said, I am deeply honored to welcome my guest, Joe Clark, to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence.
Hi there, Glenn. Thanks so much for having me on today. I'm really honored myself to be here. You've got a great show, and really have enjoyed our previous conversations and discussions about strategy and getting things done and inside of business and making change. And so I'm just excited to keep that conversation going. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. And as you and I were sharing earlier, Joe, I just have to say again to echo your comments, it's a miracle and a wonder, the internet here, where you and I can be located at different places across the globe, share and work together on common things. It is just a blessing. So I'm very blessed to have you on the show.
Good. Thank you so much. Yes, it is. It's a miracle. And we sometimes take it for granted. You know, we say technology, you know, it works maybe 95% of the time. But it's that 5% that kind of gets you down. But really, you know, to be able to talk and be scattered all across the globe and be able to do this is fantastic.
Hey, it is. And when we first started the show back in mid-October, our listeners for our first initial show were just numbered over 200 and in a few countries on the planet. And today we have, our show is heard in over 30 different countries from all around the entire globe, in countries of different languages, from China to Indonesia to the UK to Europe to South America, North America. I am just so impressed with the number of listeners in different areas. And out of those business professionals, we've grown to over 2,000 listeners on our show today.
That's great.
It is. It's a blessing. So I'm going to ask you to be kind enough to share with our listeners just a tidbit about yourself and why you were joining me today in a business show that focuses on social emotional intelligence and leadership capital in the workplace.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know. No, it's a great combination of disciplines, Glenn, because As you know, and you did such a great job of introducing me and my bio. My work, Prana Business, our work over almost two decades has been focused around strategy execution. So essentially what that means is a combination of strategy development. So a lot of influence from methodologies such as the Balanced Scorecard, a lot of Michael Porter frameworks, Jeffrey Moore, some of the best thought leaders when it comes to strategy in the last few decades. But also with a good dose of leadership development and organizational development woven in. And helping teams and you know, the human capital, the people inside of companies, help them get better. And we're just firm believers that you can't do one without the other very effectively. And so you tie those two disciplines together, and that's where you really move the needle when it comes to execution.
Yeah, I hear that. And so I completely agree with you. I think that's what also initially attracted me to you in our initial conversation just before Thanksgiving. It was a very powerful conversation for me to walk away with. So I know that you've listened to our show since we spoke before the holidays. So I'd like to ask you, what is your take on the value of that human capital, social emotional intelligence, the behavioral tendencies, and developing cohesive teams in the workplace?
Well, yes, another good question. And I did. I had a chance to listen to your episode with you and Julie Straw. And I know Julie from years back. I don't know if she remembers me or not, from Inscape Publishing. She is quite the DISC, everything DISC expert, and just a fantastic individual. And, she does such a good job of explaining the power of some of those, human behavioral tools. And where the value of those tools comes in is it's very intuitive. That's the stuff that drives execution. When companies, teams and individuals come together and they work more effectively and they do things like the DISC or other tools that are fantastic that help them work more cohesively as a group and more collaboratively as a group, they get better at performing their activities and executing and implementing their projects. Where the linkage needs to happen is then tying all of that to strategy. But you can have a great strategy. In fact, there was an Ernst & Young study done just a few years ago. They did a survey of Wall Street analysts. And what they wanted to know, Glenn, was what do these analysts look for when they're placing a rating on a stock, a buy, sell, or hold rating? Uh-huh. And the headline number on the data, the top thing on their list was a company's ability to execute strategy. And further down the list was the actual quality of the strategy itself. So essentially what they're saying is you can have an A-grade strategy, but if you don't have a track record of execution, in other words, if you don't have the ability to implement and execute through teams and individuals, then we're not going to place a premium on your rating. And the inverse is true as well. You can have a B grade strategy or a B quality strategy, but if you have a track record of bringing individuals together for excellent execution, then that's going to move the needle on the stock.
Yeah, doesn't that speak to not only I love what you said about making that connection with strategies down the line to all the way down to the custodian or the busboy at the table in the restaurant chain to where the restaurant chain is going. Doesn't that also speak to the quality of the HR or the leadership of the individuals, not only at the top of the company, but maybe who the restaurant manager of the chain of 2,000 restaurants across? Doesn't that speak volumes about how they're communicating that strategy down?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, the leaders across the company at all levels They need to be able to do a good job of communicating the game plan, and you know, ultimately, so a group of individuals understands it and can execute on it. So yes, it is. It's in fact, we talk about that frequently in our work. We really look at the intangible asset of leadership credibility. And so how credible is the leadership inside of the company? Not just from the investor's perspective externally, but also internally. Do employees find the leadership in the company credible? Do they want to rally around those particular individuals?
Yeah. And go ahead, Joe.
But yeah, I was going to ask you a question too, Glenn, as a CEO and corporate trainer yourself, how do you see strategy execution and alignment? How do you see all of that playing out with the work that you're doing in the workplace today?
I'm gonna answer that in two frame of minds. I'm gonna go back to recent experiences in government as a superintendent of schools in a couple of the West Coast states, and as a county superintendent for education in California. I'm gonna rely on that, and because that's where I was actually in that position to look at strategy going throughout the organization as we were trying to implement frameworks and strategic plans versus today, myself being a CEO of a small business. I think a lot of things are commonality, but again, we're not laying 60 or 50 people in our small company versus the 400 employees that I had or the annual $40 million annual operating budget that we work with. That was a very different experience.
Sure.
So what I want to say to this is where we struggled with is exactly the point you're making, and it really hits home. We struggled in our organizations with, well, we did the strategic planning. We'd hire consultants to come in, whether they did two-day, a weekend strategic planning workshop with the board and the industry leaders, or whether we did a month and they held focus groups and et cetera. Once that strategic plan was put into place, where we saw the holes a lot was in linking that to specific metrics to look at the accountability and also implementation of specific strategies down to everyone's behavior in the organization. And my experience has been, yes, there were some great examples that I've been part of that were very powerful, and you could see the linkage all the way through the organization. And there were examples, too, where we all scratched our heads and say, well, we've just done this, but where are we going now with it? Mm-hmm. And I think you hit the nail on the head that if before we do all of these things, we really need to be thinking about how we're connecting where we want to go with the behaviors of our employees.
That is true. And you asked a question at the beginning, the value of some of these tools and processes such as Everything Disk and cohesive teams and so on. And there's many great tools out there. And they're designed to help teams and individuals, in many cases, work more effectively together, to understand themselves and to understand others on their team, to be able to communicate more effectively, to be able to work through conflict. And essentially the whole idea is to get better at their work, right?
Yes.
Now, the challenge is just because you're getting better at performing your job or your series of activities as an individual or a team doesn't necessarily mean that work or that job or series of activities is creating uniqueness for the company. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's work that gives the company extra credit in the eyes of the customer. And that's where strategy is so important. Doing the human capital work in the context of strategy. What makes us different? What makes us unique? Let's perform activities and jobs and routines that drive that. And now, when we do that human capital work, we get better at things that really matter, rather than just things that perhaps everyone else in the industry is doing.
You know, I just have to echo that. I think that that is an extremely beneficial perspective to be looking at companies and organizations with, because our questions were always framed around, you know, our organization wants to be the best it can be in that marketplace. However, that does sometimes, it doesn't ask the question that you just mentioned about differentiation, which is gets me to thinking very differently when that language is put in place. So Joe, I've just got to know that we're going to go to break here in just a few seconds. So I'd like you just to initially comment on that, and then we're going to go take a break and we'll come back.
Yeah, sure. Well, strategy is when managers and individuals understand strategy, it's easier for them to make choices and choices that really drive advantage and ultimately success and shareholder value.
Wow. Let's come back. Let's talk a little bit more about strategic alignment. With that, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Leading with Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Are you ready to have the biggest impact on people's lives that you may ever have? Are you ready to tap the most powerful competitive advantage in the business world? As a leader of a cohesive team, you change the way people feel. You affect their self-esteem, and this will carry over throughout their entire lives. This is the single most powerful impact that you will ever have on your company and the lives of your coworkers. What are you waiting for? Let's create a truly cohesive team together and unlock the most powerful untapped competitive advantage available. Pacific Executive and Education Leadership Associates has an exclusive offer only available to our listeners. Call us at 808-313-1504 within 48 hours of today's live show. Mention the topic of today's show and receive a 20% discount on our outstanding leadership services for the next 3 months. Our products and trainings are current and supported by successful organizations worldwide. Whether you are a leading executive, an HR director, or a team leader, give us a call and let's talk about what we can do to support you. 808-313-1504.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
We're tuned in to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. To reach Glenn Harris or his guest this week, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to gharris@pacificleadershipassociates.com. Now, back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence.
Welcome back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris, and for those of you just tuning in, my guest today is Joe Clark, CEO of Prana Business. Joe, I'd like to ask you, we just left before the break, and we were talking a little bit about strategic alignment, so I'm gonna rephrase this question a different way. Why is strategic alignment so important for an organization or business in today's market?
Well, I think one might argue that it's perhaps always been important, but you know, I think it's even more important today, and in the last few decades, it's really become increasingly important that everybody understand the game plan in the company, and it's just because there's so much competition. Many markets are hyper competitive with multiple businesses and organizations trying to capture market share, and you know, strategy, the essence of strategy is differentiation, creating something unique for a particular customer. And so that's why strategy is so important, because you can't be all things to all people today and be successful because of competition. So you have to differentiate. You have to give customers a reason to want to, you know, continue to use your products and services. But also, Glenn, strategy alignment is important because it helps employees make decisions about what to do and what not to do. And I oftentimes think of the Pareto principle here, if you're familiar with that, you know, the 80-20 rule, which essentially is essentially what the 80-20 rule is saying is 20% of the inputs of a process generate 80% of the outputs. So a more clear example would be, you know, 20% of the clothes you have hanging in your closet you wear 80% of the time.
That's
right?
Certainly true.
Yeah.
That's probably 10% in my case.
Right, exactly. And to go on from there, you know, it works. The 80-20 rule is very relevant in many cases. 20% of the movies that come out on a Friday night generate 80% of the movie revenue over the weekend. 20% of a company's products or services generate 80% of its profits. 20% of its employees generate 80% of its results. So where I'm going with this is, if you're looking at your to-do list as an employee, 20% of the items on your to-do list generate 80% of the results at the end of the day. The problem is, you know, Bob Smith, his 20% might be different than Sally Jones. And so the idea with strategy alignment is everybody in the organization is rowing the boat in the same direction. When they look at their daily to-do list or the things that they have to perform, the routines, the activities, they can use strategy as a tool to make choices about what are the most important things on my to-do list? What are my 20% that are going to generate 80% of the results? And strategy helps you do that.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that, Joe. I think that going all the way down, if I'm, you know, maybe I'm going to take the example of I'm a custodian in an organization and I'm doing the job at night, ensuring that the workplace is, I might look at that uneducated. I might say I'm hired to be a custodian. If I'm educated in your company about what my decisions need to be, they might be crafted around providing, if it's a safe and effective workplace. Mm-hmm. So all my decisions at night about what I'm going to do maybe need to be prioritized about what the mission is for your company.
Exactly.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah. You know, I asked a busboy one time up in the Northwest in Seattle area for a company. I was curious to find out how much alignment there was with this restaurant. And it was a national chain at that time owned. Bonanza was the major owner of several smaller companies of restaurants. And so I asked him, and I was very surprised to hear when he responded, and he says, well, my job is to ensure an effective turnover of tables so we don't have a delay in our service, instead of saying my job's to clean the table.
Okay.
And
interesting.
So I knew right away that there had been conversations about really why are you here and what are the decisions you need to be making to effectively get this part of your job done as quickly as possible in a sufficient manner to get other people into that table.
Yeah. And how powerful is that as an employee? You know, when you understand as an individual contributor inside of, especially in larger companies, you know, they feel so impersonal sometimes. But when you understand how the things that you've been asked to do on a daily basis, how those things link up to making the company different in some way, how they link up to creating some kind of competitive advantage, it really contributes to a sense of purpose. You know, I'm not just coming in every day and punching the clock and cranking out widgets. I'm coming in today and I'm performing a series of activities that create value for a customer in some cool and different kind of fashion. And that's pretty powerful for employees to know.
Yeah, my wife, I'm just going to go back with you. Hit the nail on the head again with my wife. She is a reading recovery teacher in one of the public schools here in Hawaii right now. And that simply means it's an accelerated reading program, and not for kids who need remedial. It is to move kids up to the classroom average in 12 to 16 weeks and get them going so they can have effective, they can receive the instruction they need and be self reliable and self extending systems when they're reading. Oh, wow. So they're learning to read. So the piece is that is not so much about reading recovery as it is about what she comes home and shares. She finds at present, where she is, she doesn't find a lot of motivation by the employer that she has. Not the person, but the right. employer. But she gets her motivation because she knows that what she's doing is having a direct, specific impact immediately on the lives of these kids.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's great. That's a great story.
So how hard is it to go to a place of work where some people don't see that connection and all they have is I'm going to work and I feel like I'm blowing up balloons in a balloon factory all day?
Well, I think it's probably hard. I think that's why you see so much mediocrity today in business. Really good strategy execution is fairly scarce. It really is. I mean, there's been many studies done on this. One that comes to mind right off the top of my head is by the guys at Bain, the consulting company Bain. There was a book by two guys from Bain a couple of years ago, fantastic book called Repeatability. And the book is it's a strategy book, but a strategy execution book more specifically. But one of the interesting data points is very relevant to what we're talking about here. They had done Bain had done a 10-year study of something like 6,000 organizations to find out, you know, what makes companies sustainably good. In other words, returning capital in really performing over the long haul and not just quarter by quarter. And what's interesting is they found that less than 10% of the companies that they studied over a 10-year period, less than 10% over a decade, actually returned more than their cost of capital. So in other words, their cost of capital over a 10-year period, they're not even creating, return on investment that exceeds that. That's a problem. But that really illustrates that, that's 1 in 10 companies that have sustainable results that shareholders would be happy with. And it just goes back to your point, and there's just a lot of, there's a lot of companies that are fine. They're mediocre. They're fine. And I think a lot of that, Glenn, has to do with employees coming into work every day, and they don't have that sense of purpose. They don't understand how they fit into the game plan. They don't understand how they move the needle on strategy. And so they wind up being compliant. And what you want is commitment, right?
Yes.
And so the idea is to use strategy as a lever as a manager to help gain commitment amongst the culture that you're leading.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very important. So I'm going to ask you this then, is just segue right into this. Will you share with our listeners what you believe is the most important skills for any CEO or manager to have?
Well, I mean, there's a few skills, but there's some basic blocking and tackling fundamentals that
sounds
CEOs
like football.
Yeah, exactly. CEOs need to have, which is perfect from a timely perspective, being in the playoffs right now. But, CEOs, one of the most important things that not just a CEO, but any leader at any level inside of the company, one of the most important skills they need to have is the ability to craft a story for their employees. A compelling story that rallies a group of individuals behind a common direction. And so essentially what I'm suggesting here, Glenn, is leaders need to be strategy focused. They need to have the skill to be able to translate this abstract term of strategy into something that is actually meaningful for employees at an actionable level. And that is not always easy to do, but sometimes we as leaders and managers, we make it more difficult than it needs to be as well. Mm-hmm. The great leaders out there, they know how to rally the troops, so to speak, behind a common game plan. And that is a very important skill to have. Otherwise, you're probably running up against that compliance culture that we were talking about, mediocrity at best.
Yeah. I had interesting. I was working with a group of people from an automotive store chain, and one of the guys that they'd hired that we were talking with, I was asking him, we were doing some social emotional intelligence training, and I was asking him, so what? How do you value? What do you look for in your employees, and how do you value them? And he replied back and said, all I need in my employees is that they follow my directions.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, you know, my reaction was, I wouldn't want to be one of your employees. That's a hard place to be. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'd love to dive into some of the many companies and maybe some of the mistakes that you've seen companies make in setting clear strategies and things.
Right.
So with that, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Leading with Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to have the biggest impact on people's lives that you may ever have? Are you ready to tap the most powerful competitive advantage in the business world? As a leader of a cohesive team, you change the way people feel. You affect their self-esteem, and this will carry over throughout their entire lives. This is the single most powerful impact that you will ever have on your company and the lives of your coworkers. What are you waiting for? Let's create a truly cohesive team together and unlock the most powerful, untapped competitive advantage available. Pacific Executive and Education Leadership Associates has an exclusive offer only available to our listeners. Call us at 808-313-1504 within 48 hours of today's live show. Mention the topic of today's show and receive a 20% discount on our outstanding leadership services for the next 3 months. Our products and trainings are current and supported by successful organizations worldwide. Whether you are a leading executive, an HR director, or a team leader, give us a call and let's talk about what we can do to support you. 808-313-1504.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
We're tuned in to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. To reach Glenn Harris or his guest this week, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to gharris@pacificleadershipassociates.com. Now, back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence.
Welcome back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris, and today our guest is Joe Clark, the CEO of Prana Business. Joe, many companies in setting clear strategies, my experience has been that they often make some mistakes along the way, like every organization. What is the most common mistake that companies tend to make with regards to strategy execution?
Yeah, so I'm going to borrow a little bit from Michael Porter here, best-selling author. He's really considered to be one of the founding fathers of sort of modern business strategy. And he always talks about having a strategy to be the best versus a strategy to be different. And our experience over the years is that is one of the most common mistakes. And one of the mistakes that can have the most impact on a company. So let me explain. Most companies set themselves on a course, a direct competitive course with other organizations in their industry. And so all of a sudden you create this herd-like mentality where they're competing against each other. And it's really just a competition to be better than your next competitor. The idea with strategy, the essence of strategy, is differentiation. So having a strategy to be different than the others in the marketplace, that's the success factor that can really drive capital returns in business, profitability today, repeatability. But if you just have a strategy to be the best, you're essentially throwing yourself on that treadmill. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly having to compete, playing the same game as everyone else. Well, this isn't baseball or football or basketball. We can play a different game. So rather than compete in baseball, let's go out and find a different way to compete. Let's go after a different type of customer who is looking for a different kind of value. And let's own that customer. And let's let XYZ competitor down the street go off and try to be the best. We're going to be different. And so companies that can do that typically build more sustainable results over time. And companies that don't, they find themselves in that sort of zone of mediocrity like we were talking about earlier.
Boy, what comes up for me on that is is during the development of strategic plans for companies, and some of my thoughts that come up around accountability, results, and alignment, they're just. And I'm going to go back to government organizations, whether it be federal government or organizations that I've worked with, or local government organizations that I've worked with. It seems to always be about mediocrity. I mean, I'm not criticizing government or the employees, but it always seems to get hooked into, we're going to do what we do. This is what our mission is. And we're going to continue to crank that out. And the metrics we're going to use to measure it by is how well, let's say, our students improve, or how much cost savings that we have on our annual budget, so we can be able to use that money to extend it in some other areas where we're a little short on. It just doesn't seem that that we get out of mediocrity by being different, by focusing on different with a lot of companies and organizations.
So, that is true.
So that's a huge shift. So in that type of thinking. So I think that one of the most overlooked and difficult things is the effective communication in that organization's strategy. Mm-hmm. is how well is that leader willing to be vulnerable and model that and share that and be inclusive to bring those employees in where those employees see that this person really wants to hear from me. Mm-hmm. Whether it's my immediate supervisor or on up, they really want to engage because I'm not just the salesperson on the phone. I'm actually a person who has ideas, mm-hmm. and I can contribute to the workplace and add value to my team. So what's your take on that in relation to strategy itself?
Well, I think most employees, and I know there's been studies done on this too, most individuals, they want to go to work every day and they want to feel like they have a sense of contribution. Okay. Sure, they're coming in for the salary, the paycheck, and the compensation, but also they want to do work that matters. I really do believe that. That's a philosophy behind our business and behind our line of sight tool, as you know. That goes back to my previous answer to the previous question around what's one of the most important skills a leader needs to have, and that is crafting that story. I really do believe that employees, they want to come to work. They want to know what that story is. And then they want to know how they can get better at performing things that have meaning for that story. I have run across managers that say, and executives that say, I don't know, Joe. My guys and gals come in every day, they punch the clock and crank out widgets. Do they really need to know the strategy? And, you know, that's a philosophical question that each leader needs to wrestle with, or even better, each senior leadership team, each C-suite team needs to decide, is this a corporate value for us that we believe that strategy is everyone's job every day? And if so, are we living that? And are we communicating it often enough and in a way that's meaningful? And if not, what are we going to do about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So when you say that, would you share, I'm going to jump a little bit here. I had a list of questions during this time is so short and valuable. I just really want to try to pick your brain the best I can for our listeners out there. So will you share with our listeners a sample question? So we've got some C-suite executives will be listening this tonight or listening live right now, or some small businesses, and they're wanting to kind of probably go, okay, so how do you do that? How do your partners and the tools they have facilitate helping us look at things in a different way? What's an example of a question in your company's tool set that you use?
Yeah. There's the line of sight. It's 4.5 years old now at this point, but it's been built on a framework that's almost 2 decades old. And in the tool itself, I mean, it does exactly as you know now, having experienced it. The line of sight does exactly what the name implies. It creates line of sight for managers and executives to scan their internal landscape and see how aligned their team is or their organization on a whole around, you know, are they aligned behind a common game plan? And if not, where are the holes in the ship and how can we fix it? We've been able to really curate that tool down over the last few years into 29 questions that really help frame the diagnostic itself. One of my favorite, to answer your question, Glenn, one of my favorite questions out of the 29, and this depends on which day you ask me, but today my favorite question is question number 7, which is do employees understand do they know who the competition is and how the company is different, how your company is different? Do they know who you're competing against today and how your company is unique? And oftentimes the line of sight, in fact, almost inevitably, the line of sight reveals that most employees don't really, they might know who the competition is, but they don't exactly, they can't articulate how the company's different. And so when that happens, that's an immediate indication that they might be competing on price, or they might be confusing their customers. And some customers think that the company is creating one type of value, and other customers think it's creating a different kind of value. And really, the company's not doing anything very well. They're trying to do too many things or boil the ocean, as we say. So that question number 7 is my favorite. And the reason why is it's at the very core of the philosophy of strategy and the line of sight, where the essence of strategy is differentiation. It's about creating value for a group of customers in a way that is different than other competitors. So you're not just in the toothpaste aisle. I don't know if you're a fan of walking up and down the toothpaste aisle, but I can tell you I'm not a toothpaste connoisseur. And I don't know too many people who are, but if you're not a toothpaste connoisseur and you're in the toothpaste aisle, most of the meaningless distinctions on the wrapper are just that. They're meaningless to me. They're blurry. It's a blurry aisle. And so what I tend to do is buy on price. You know, they all say whitening. They all have, peppermint flavor, and they all fight cavities. So why should I buy one versus the other? Well, I can't tell. So I'm going to make my buying decision based on price. And so that's why, you know, going back to your question, that question number seven, it's so important for every employee in the company to understand how their company is unique and then be able to take that information and use it to make choices about their daily to-do list. And so I don't know how much time we have left, but I could go on about hygiene if you want me to, because you know I love the concept of hygiene in business.
Yes. Well, take about 30 more seconds here we have until our last break and talk, lap that into hygiene.
Yeah, sure. So it's perfect adding it on to our toothpaste discussion here. So hygiene, if you think about our culture, our society, most of us, we take a shower on a regular basis. We bathe somewhat frequently. But here's the thing. We don't get any extra credit for it because everybody does it, right? So the same thing happens inside of companies today. Most of the activities that employees are performing on their to-do list are just hygiene activities. They're not really giving the company any extra credit in the eyes of the customer. So the idea with strategy is to understand, who's our competition? How are we different? And how do these things on my to-do list drive that uniqueness? So, and it's, you know, in the context of leadership development too, Glenn, that is an important thing for leaders to know. Because, you know, now their job as a leader is to keep their employees focused on the things that 20% that generate 80% of the results, keep them focused on those things and minimize the impact that hygiene or the 80% activities have on their day. Oh, that's what leadership is right there.
I love that. That's a great way to look at that. We're going to, with that in mind, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to have the biggest impact on people's lives that you may ever have? Are you ready to tap the most powerful competitive advantage in the business world? As a leader of a cohesive team, you change the way people feel. You affect their self-esteem, and this will carry over throughout their entire lives. This is the single most powerful impact that you will ever have on your company and the lives of your coworkers. What are you waiting for? Let's create a truly cohesive team together and unlock the most powerful untapped competitive advantage available. Pacific Executive and Education Leadership Associates has an exclusive offer only available to our listeners. Call us at 808-313-1504 within 48 hours of today's live show. Mention the topic of today's show and receive a 20% discount on our outstanding leadership services for the next 3 months. Our products and trainings are current and supported by successful organizations worldwide. Whether you are a leading executive, an HR director, or a team leader, give us a call and let's talk about what we can do to support you. 808-313-1504.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. To reach Glenn Harris or his guest this week, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to gharris@pacificleadershipassociates.com. Now, back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence.
Welcome back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris, and today our guest is Joe Clark, the CEO of Prana Business. Joe, we last left off with a little discussion about hygiene, and I want to come back for people just tuning in. They might be going, hygiene, wait a minute, maybe I'm on the wrong type of show. So connect that back in with the high, and I'm just going to share some experience here. In my last experience of being head of an organization, you know, it began, emails began to become so abundant and I felt intrusive into my work to the daily, one of the daily routines was 250 emails a day, sorting through the 95% to get rid of them and look at the 5% which might be of real value to the work I need to be doing. I'm not asking you to kind of solve the email question, right. But the piece about it is for leaders, how can leaders of companies help facilitate that getting rid of the high, you know, keeping the hygiene, but doing the work that's important?
Yeah, that's a tough challenge. So good luck with that.
Thanks, Joe. No.
You know, it's, I love a good metaphor. And so I'm going to kind of bring up this whole question around the difference between an art museum and an art warehouse. I don't know if we've talked about this before, Glenn.
I don't think so.
Okay. The difference between an art museum and an art warehouse is the empty space. An art warehouse, the whole idea with an art warehouse, right, is you go cram as much art into it as you possibly can to be really efficient with the square footage that you're renting or that you own.
Right.
And so it's not about space. It's, you know, empty space. It's about finding that empty space and filling it. An art museum has a curator. An art museum is mostly empty space because of that curator. So you go into an art museum and it's mostly a gigantic empty wall and with a few, you know, pieces on it that have been carefully selected, that those are the pieces that create the magic. Mm-hmm. It's a manager's job to be that curator for his or her employees. Part of that skill set around crafting a story, keeping them focused on things that really matter to our strategy and minimizing the impact of hygiene and noise. I mean, the signal to noise ratio in business today, as you just depicted with your email story, is it's crazy. So it's more important than ever that managers at all levels understand the driving factors that create differentiation and strategy execution so that they can help take some of the burden off of their employees' to-do list so that they're focused on things that are really important in the eyes of the customer. They're curators. And so I don't know if that's answering your question, but it oftentimes thinking of it like that causes managers to really wrestle with, am I doing that?
Right.
Am I doing a good job of keeping my team focused on strategy? First of all, do we even know what the strategy is? And if not, how am I going to find that out? And how am I going to translate that for my team? How am I going to create a story for them?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is very helpful, Joe. That's a great example. And it really does communicate very well that as a leader, one of my jobs is really to help them be able to ascertain what is truly important in their work. What's the important work and what is not? And how can I support them in keeping that important work on the forefront and facilitate and scaffold it for them? I think that's great.
Yeah, well, fantastic. And so I had a question for you, too, if you don't mind. Was thinking of it, you know, now that we're partners, your company and Prana Business, you know, what is it that attracted you guys to want to be partners with Prana? And how do you see the line of sight sort of fitting in with your tool chest around the cohesive teams and DISC?
I will tell you this, that what attracted me during our initial conversation was the realization that my business experience comes from small businesses and the governmental world as the CEO. And your experience that I've read and listened to you share with me is the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And in our conversation, in sharing those things, what I came to learn was the learning that I walked away with about the need for a very effective ability as leaders to communicate and have an effective strategy that they're implementing and ensuring there is alignment of that all the way through from, you know, the custodian on up to the department head, so they can do the work that's important. And when I heard that from you, I kind of went, whoa, here's a person whose experiences have been in a different world, and he's saying the same thing to me, drawing the same conclusions from his own observations and experiences. That is what made me, as the CEO of our Pacific Executive and Educational Leaderships, want to connect with you and want to become a partner. That message is of value. And I see it's a natural. I mean, in Patrick Lencioni's work with the five behaviors of a cohesive team, and I'll just stay with that and kind of stay out of social-emotional intelligence for a minute, it is really the foundation, even though it's kind of global, that pyramid of vulnerability-based trust, of encouraging disagreement in some levels and healthy conflict, and encouraging commitment to specific and crystal clear results. And how does that line up with the vision and the mission, and what is each team member's responsibility and specific contribution to getting there? That speaks a message, and I think your company lines up very well with that model. And in matter of fact, I think it's a great extension in the language of business. And so I'm very honored to become a partner with you.
Yeah, great. Well, we're thrilled to have you. And like I said at the beginning, it's so important to weave together the discipline of strategy and performance improvement, essentially team improvement, individual improvement. That's what drives strategy. And you have to be able to link those two up together and tie that work up nicely for your clients.
Yeah, I think so too. Joe, you know, we're down to less than a minute on the show, and I just want to thank you for being our guest today. And I'd like to ask you in about 10, maybe, can you give us a 10-second elevator speech about your Prana Business?
Sure. Well, absolutely. And first, thank you, Glenn. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it. And thanks so much for inviting me. I'd love to come back. With that said, you can learn more about Prana Business at our website. It's probably the best way to do it. PranaBusiness.com. I'll spell it. It's PranaBusiness.com. Or you can shoot me an email directly. It's very simple, joe@pranabusiness.com. And I'd love to continue the conversation on email for anyone who has questions.
Thank you, Joe, very much. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for participating in our show or our shows from this fall through early on here in January. We have a lot of gratitude for those of you joining us. We have some upcoming events. We'll be on the different islands in Hawaii doing some talks about leadership, vulnerability, and intentionality. Be talking a little bit more about what Joe has shared with us today. We would love you to come to our website at PacificLeadershipAssociates.com. to learn a little bit more about what we do and what we have to offer you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. We'd like to also thank Voice of America and the producers for the wonderful opportunity.
Thank you for being a part of our show, Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability with host Glenn Harris, can be heard live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll talk next time.